Hey, we're not dead. We came back. It's the second episode of July. I think we recorded one at the beginning of the month. This is Bound for Disappointment, your favorite podcast of all time, starring, well, there's two of us. Me, I'm Kevin Charity, chilling over here in the luxurious Mira Mesa, California. Over in Phoenix, roasting his ass off, is our beloved Mark Wilkins. Mark, how are you?
I was doing better until you reminded me of the weather. That's a cardinal sin out here. And also, I don't know if you listen to our beloved podcast, but Eric mentioned that it's a cardinal sin of podcasts to mention that you're back from any sort of absence. So 0 for 2, Kevin.
Well, I don't say we're back. I say we're back every episode. It's like my thing.
That's fair.
So I don't like – I'm not like saying that we're back from a hiatus because we recorded an episode, I think, on the 3rd. And now we're back on the 14th. So, well, it's not quite. I mean, like I said, like, okay. I would struggle to find another podcast that records at weirder hours than we do. We're recording this at about 11 o'clock at night on the West Coast on July 14th. I almost said September for some reason. But we're going to talk a little bit about some road tripping a little bit. We took separate road trips with a common theme. So we're going to kind of review that, talk about the high points, the low points, and kind of what we saw. And then I think from there, we want to talk about the our beloved Lake Elsinore Storm and their Rated R night that's coming up. It's a promo, so we'll get into that. And then, you know, we may talk a little bit about the All-Star game and things like that. It's if we're talking sports, it's kind of a slow point of the year for sports for the most part. Although this year, and I don't know if it's going to be a permanent thing, but you got the NBA finals going on right now. Sorry, Mark. The Suns lost tonight, so I think that's kind of spiced things up a little bit because this is like usually like the All-Star, like the Wednesday after the All-Star game is always like the worst day of the year for sports. And you actually had an NBA game to talk about, so I watched a good amount of it. So I mean, we can talk a little bit about that as well. And then if we decide to talk about music, we'll make sure that we give a heads up so Eric can check out a little bit early, maybe go to bed. So we'll do that too.
We gotta be polite to our four listeners. So
yeah, I mean, hey, we actually had a pretty damn good week. I mean, for us, I mean, let's be real. Not a lot of people are listening to this yet. And we had, you know, a decent week where we had, I want to say it's our high, but I was pleasantly surprised of like, I feel like it's actually like every time that more people listen to it than the previous episode, I always feel like that's a pretty good thing. I mean, it's not like it goes down.
Growth is good. Did it start with a 2?
No, it was bigger than a 2.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it was more than a 2.
I'm a little concerned now that people know who I am.
Yeah. People know who you are. They know that I'm the awkward sounding one and you're the one with the deep pipes, because it's pretty common for somebody like, because you're 6'8", like usually every tall person I know has this like boisterous voice. So like that's like a normal thing.
I had a roommate in college, my first time at college, the college and the before times, the long, long ago, and he was 6'10". He was the center on the basketball team, and he did not have big pipes. We were quite the odd couple. But
that's unfortunate for him.
He's doing very well for himself, so I won't criticize that. But
is he playing like professionally or something?
No, he's in some suit and tie job that suits him very well, and he's got a wife and a child, and he's very happy. So you know, I can't say that held him back. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and you're stuck hosting a podcast with me, so your life took a dark turn.
I am in a certain circle of hell on Dante's Inferno. I don't know which one.
You know, you got to look at it is if you believe in reincarnation, you're kind of like paying for it in this lifetime. So like maybe your next lifetime, it'll be a little bit easier for you.
Yes. Like, I believe like, in the past I was some sort of warlord who committed atrocities.
Like maybe you'll come back as like a Kardashian or something. You'll be just like really rich for no reason.
Well, I look at it like maybe that's possible, but because I'm also a person who lives in the United States in the time that I do, it's very possible I come back as like a cicada or something. So we'll find out.
Yeah, I ever tell you about my theory about like the afterlife or
no, but I'm ready.
Not to go like super existential, but like I've thought about the afterlife a lot and like what happens when we die. It's a really interesting topic. There's some people that believe nothing happens. There's some people that believe in reincarnation. There's some people that believe that like we just we go to heaven and like our soul lives in heaven. And, you know, I don't know where I stand on it because quite frankly, I guess I'll find out when it happens. But I had like I just had a vision of like you think about people in the world that have struggled. Think about people that have had really horrendous diseases or were murdered or something really bad happened to them. I used to have like a thought when I was like a teenager, like those are the people that are like in heaven and they're like everything's good, like they have a happy afterlife. But then the people like that had it made, like the Kardashians, for example, are like the people doing all the menial jobs in heaven. Like if you go to like a bar, Kim Kardashian's the one that's like cleaning up the puke off the floor and things like that. Like, because I'm like, that's the only way that life made sense to me at that time. But think about like, because like I'm like all these, I was at a time in my life where I was seeing like a lot of really bad things happen to people in my family, people extended. It's like, how are these people like they're suffering? But then you have like other, it was like one of those questions that you ask your parents and your parents really have like no idea how to answer it. And so I kind of made a decision in my mind, like that's the only thing at that point in my life that made sense.
So two things. One, you kind of described the Billy Joel song, Only the Good Die Young. And two,
did I?
A little bit. There's a deeper meaning to that, but I'm, you know, not everyone's as deep a Billy Joel fan as I am.
He's got some hits.
I actually met Billy Joel. It's a whole other story. Two, I find it amusing and profound at the same time that you've created heaven like a functioning society where rather than just like, you know, snapping your fingers, a drink appears in your hand, someone's got to pour it. And if you puke, someone's got to clean it up. And those are the rich people who tried but just couldn't relate to society. Yeah. That's actually pretty appropriate.
Well, because I remember like, when I was like, I was probably like in my early 20s, I made a joke with this person at work and talked about, man, when I die, like it's gonna be like orgies all day. And the girl's like, you don't go to heaven in God's kingdom and have orgies. And I'm like, why not? Isn't it supposed to be heaven? And then so she kind of started talking to me, was like, I'm like, that sounds terrible. So it's like I pictured like heaven is kind of a utopia of sorts where like bad things don't happen. Like, you know, like if you were like somebody who like you're like a burn victim, you go to heaven, like you look like you look, you know, like you should look like you're replenished, you know. Stuff like that. So
two things here. I think most people see utopia as a place where they can get all the knowledge in the world and feel all the love. And yours is like, I'm going to get my swag on with whole groups of people. So that's a whole other issue.
That's part of it. I mean, what you said is good too. But like, I mean, if it's heaven, I dreamt of like there's a pizza tree and there's like endless supply of chicken wings. There's like a Coke fountain. I can drink it and like not get fat, not get diabetes. You know, they're like, I know the other thing too that's like sports related is I thought about like, what if there's like some super league in heaven with like all the dead baseball players, and like you go see a game and like Tony Gwynn is like playing next to Mickey Mantle, like in the outfield, and you got like Lou Gehrig at first base, and like, you know, like Walter Johnson on the mound or something. Like, how dope that would be if there was like some super heaven league. You ever thought about that?
I've thought about that, but here's the question I've always wondered, because I like to pick really specific things when I consider problems like the afterlife. What happens if you're like a widower and you're young and you and you go to heaven? Like, do you just have like two hot wives?
Or
do you,
that's something.
Like, how does that sort out? How like, does that sort out?
What if like yeah? Because like, what if you die? Like, because you know, I had my grandmother, the husband she remarried with, who like basically raised my mom, was the one I called, you know, we called grandpa. I don't remember. Right. He died when I was like one, but like she died or he died like in 1986, and she dated a couple of people and she got remarried in like the, you know, at some point in the like early 90s. And so it's like when she gets to heaven, like, she was still married to this guy, so now does she go back and resume her previous relationship with, you know, the man that, like, helped her raise her children, or does she wait for him to die? And then, or do they all live in harmony? Like,
yeah,
that's the thing too.
Yeah, so, like, how does that work? Because I think, like, the archetype of heaven and all that is based on, like, the nuclear family, you know, prospering until the end. And what's funny is it's not like divorce, death, and remarrying is a recent thing. You look back in history and people had, like, you know, five husbands because they all died. It's not a recent thing. So, like, they've never addressed this issue the whole time. As far as I know, I'm not Catholic. I'm Episcopalian. And I actually had this talk with John Conniff in San Antonio. I'm Catholic light. I get the festivities and the pointy hats without the guilt. And as far as I know, not paying attention to the Pope because we rebelled against that centuries ago, the Pope hasn't delivered a decree about what happens in heaven if you've been widowed a few times. I'm curious.
Yeah, or, like, you know, if you've been married, like, five times, and, like, which husband do you end up with, or what, or wife do you end up with?
Yeah, well, what's the, like, is there, like, a point system?
And then, like,
all of them?
Yeah, and if, like, what happens, like, do I share, like, a space? Like, what if, like, my neighbor, like, I die and I go to heaven and, like, I have a house or whatever. Yeah. And my neighbor, like, they died in, like, 1500. Like, what the hell am I going to talk to them? Like, what's this TV you speak of? Like, what are they going to know? Do they have cars? Can you just teleport? Like, there are lots of questions I have.
I'm pretty sure there's no technology. I'm pretty sure you just fuck around. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm pretty sure it's just a big, like, place where you talk to people. And I don't know. Like, people spoke a lot of different languages. You know, there are more questions than answers on the afterlife, let me tell you.
There is no answers. None of us know. Nobody has the answer to it. It's interesting to speculate about, because I remember having a dream, and, like, maybe 10 years ago. And I don't know about your family, but most of the adults, because I don't know a lot about my mom's side of the family, but, like, I know my dad's side of the family really well. And I would say, like, 95% of the people, like, my parents' age or older, like, they all smoked, like, every single one of them. Like, it's like, my grandparents smoked, aunt and uncle smoked, my parents smoked, cousins, everybody smoked. And so I remember, like, having a smoked cigarettes. And I remember, like, having a dream where I'm sitting at this, like, table with them, like, eating, and everybody's, like, just blasting heaters. And I just remember it being, like, the weirdest thing. Like, because that's what I've always kind of pictured heaven. Like, do they people, that's like, when you die, like, they come and they, like, they greet you. And that's, like, all these, you know, relatives. And, it kind of gives you comfort. I don't know. But, like, then there's part of me that also believes, like, there's nothing. Like, I'm not atheist or anything, but, like, it's a fun conversation to have. And I've taken this podcast on a weird rabbit hole, but it's one of those things that, like, to me is that it's an interesting topic to talk about, because it's all based on, like, things that we read, and there's really nobody has an answer. And I don't think that there's a way to, you know, there's part of me that also thinks that, like, heaven's in another dimension, or the afterlife's in another dimension. Like, we cross dimensions, and there's portals, and there's different things. Like, I don't know. Like, I hear these things, like, a lot of this stuff makes sense. Reincarnation makes sense because, like, there's some people that just have familiarity with, like, the world. You heard that, like, that old cliche, they're wise beyond their years, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I've always wondered a couple of things, and I've wondered, one, if, like, my ancestors who I never knew would be a part of that, going back however long, I don't know. And then two, one of my fears is if we just enter a dream state where we relive, like, our entire lives in some dream state in, like, the 5 seconds before our brains turn off, but it's, you know, stretched out over eternity. But then I always wonder, what happens if you're obliterated? Like, what happens if you're, like, on a plane and it just blows up? Like, you don't have that moment. So I don't know.
Yeah,
this is all going very far back to that Spaces that I did. I'm not wanting to go back to that place.
I mean, yeah, I'm stone cold sober. I don't know about you. Like, I don't partake in many things. But I like to.
No, I'm not. I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna dissect the Crocodile Hunter's death again.
Yeah, we don't need to go there. Let's talk about kind of your weekend. I don't know how do you want to approach this? Like, how did it start for you? Like, what did you do? Like, I'll let you go first.
So San Antonio branch of the trip. I thought it was cool that we had two trips out at the same time because we got to kind of like compare experiences. So for those of you listening who do subscribe to Mad Friars, first of all, thank you so much because you are the reason why we did these trips, because we go out, we talk to the players, we have these experiences where we get out to the affiliates, we build these relationships and talk to people. That's how we get you the exclusive content that you pay for. So thank you for making that happen. If you're listening and you don't subscribe to Mad Friars, one, definitely consider it because that is how we get out to the affiliates even
more. Shame on you.
I won't shame them. What if they don't know yet? What if they're like, you know, what if they don't know yet? They should know. If you don't do it yet, please consider it because we are not for profit. We don't get paid. The only thing that your subscriber money goes to is these trips to get us out there. Which is the coolest thing that we do for this site. And it's the coolest thing for you guys to read because it's actually us out there talking to these players. So if you're not a subscriber already, if you don't know, we go out to the affiliates and we interview players. And we haven't been able to do that because of COVID. So it's been a minute. And Kevin and I both have never actually gone on a trip. So we went buddy system. Kevin went to Fort Wayne with Ben Davey, and I went to San Antonio with John Conniff because that's how much more supervision I need. And the plan was we were going to get to San Antonio on Thursday, and the missions were going to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we're going to leave on Monday. So Thursday, John had stuff come up in real life, so he wasn't going to be able to make the trip that day. He rearranged his flight, but it was cheaper for me to just go and just do San Antonio for a day, and then we'll reconvene. Game gets rained out anyway. Of course, like the minute I get there, I find out that Reese Kinnear is on a plane out of town with CJ Abrams already being injured. Friday, John was going to be there in the morning. His flights got delayed. There's been all kinds of stuff flying where pilots have been taking time off. They've been having a shortage. There's labor issues, just like any other industry. So he got out in the afternoon, and I swear it was like – maybe 15 minutes after he said, you know, I'm on the ground just waiting to get the car, mission scrapped the game. So we got another rain out. But it was cool though, because like he showed up, I've never met John, and he showed up, and obviously he's on a long day traveling. He's been up since early in the morning. He flew out from DC to San Antonio. The minute he gets there, he was just like, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. Puts down his bags. Let's go get some barbecue. And we went to Pinkerton's barbecue. Brisket was like butter, jalapeno sausage. They did like a cheesy jalapeno rice. I mean, my first introduction to Texas barbecue, phenomenal.
So, why does Texas barbecue always have white bread? Like, what the hell's up with that?
Always have what?
They always have white bread. Every time he goes to Texas, John will post. Yeah, but it's weird.
You can put stuff on it or you can just eat it. It's an optional thing, it's an accessory to the meal that you can treat as a side or as a vehicle to properly deliver things to you if that's your style.
Yeah, whatever.
It's like a shovel or it's like bread. It's whatever you want it to be. You know, they're flexible. So we did that.
It's very binding.
Well, you don't have to eat it. We did that. We were staying at the Sheraton Gunter, which was the best rate we could get for a hotel. But could not have been any better placed. It was right downtown. So we didn't have to drive to anything. Just get out, walk, go places. Really cool. And a lot of history there. Robert Johnson did his first blues recording there in 1936. Recorded Sweet Home Chicago.
I don't know who that is.
He's like the father of the Chicago blues movement. And actually, if I remember right, he was actually like popularized after his death. But he's amazing. John Mellencamp recorded there too as a tribute.
Little Diddy of Jack and Diane.
After that, it was after that. Right Behind Me by John Mellencamp was recorded at the Sheraton Gunter in San Antonio. I went to the Alamo. I went to the Alamo like first thing because it was like right around the corner from the hotel.
How much does it cost to get into the Alamo?
It's free.
It's free?
Yeah, the album is actually free. You could pay for like an audio tour or like a guided tour, but if you just want to go in, you just have to reserve online a certain time and they'll let you go in. But if you don't want to go in the actual church building of the Alamo, you can just go in the gate and walk the grounds. And to be honest, the church building, the Alamo, doesn't have a lot in it. So I went back a few times and just walk. Every morning I walked the grounds as part of my morning walk. But Alamo is a big part of history. Obviously,
did you pull an Ozzy Osbourne there and pee on it?
No, I did not.
It's probably a smart move.
And no matter how you feel about that part in history, obviously it's been changed over the years. Not the history has been changed. The way it's been taught has been changed over the years in some circles. We've learned more about that part of history. No matter how you think about it, it's an incredibly important part of United States history. And it's a big reason why California is a part of the Union. It led to the Mexican War, all those things. So it was very cool to actually see that in person. So let me get to Saturday. And Saturday we're like, all right, the weather's going to clear up. We're going to get a ball game. And we get down. It's my first time going to Wolf Stadium. My first time in a double-A stadium. And it's my first time ever wearing a credential around my neck. So that's all really cool. And we met Jeremy Sneed. He's the media relations director for the missions. And let me tell you, could not have been more accommodating, could not have been more hardworking, hospitable, just an all-around amazing guy for that team. We met him. He was actually barefoot because he was rolling the tarp out when we got there. And met everyone else in the front office, met everyone else in the broadcast booth, the press box. And we're down at the dugout. We're getting ready to do interviews. And we actually started in, John just had me sit in with him for the first one. So I just kind of, you know, I know how an interview goes, but I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing anything stupid for, you know, my first in-person interviews. And we got Joe Bimel, which was really cool. Kind of funny to start off with a 44-year-old ex-big leaguer who's trying to become a big leaguer again. But we're talking to Bimel. Great interview, and John will have a write-up on that sometime soon. And it starts raining again. And it starts raining like sideways, just blowing, storming right through. And we had to take it into the hallway. And then in the hallway, we got some more interviews. I spoke to Dylan Rowe, who was a free agent, picked up, I believe, from the Cardinals organization. I know he pitched for Baltimore also.
He's pitched everywhere. He's a vagabond, so to speak.
He's in his, I believe, his fifth organization. And John spoke to Aaron Leisure. And then it was like about the time to get ready to for them all to get ready for the game. So we go up to the press box. And I went down to the field, to the concourse, kind of just to get a look at the stadium before there's people in it, just kind of get that feel. And I'm walking back up, and one of the workers who handles like the food and everything up there, she said, "Well, we get another day off." And I was a little surprised. I'm like, really? Like, what's she telling me? Because the weather was actually good at that point. I go in the press box and they're like, yeah, they banged the game. And it was that the warning track was just, they couldn't get drained out. And the weather was fine from that point on. When we left, it was actually sunny. So that was disappointing in that angle. And it just showed for the missions, for people who haven't been to San Antonio or people who don't watch the MILB or really follow the missions as much. Wolf is just old enough to be an old park. And if it was at a newer facility, they would have absolutely been able to have a game. It just didn't have the drainage. So that was a real bummer for the team, because for a minor league team to lose the gate 2 days in a row was really upsetting for them. But the good thing was the first rain out, they rescheduled for September 1st. But this one got pushed in a doubleheader. So we go back on Sunday. And we're thinking, like, okay, maybe we're finally going to see some baseball. And unfortunately, it did condense things. You know, normally we would you would have the first day to kind of feel it out. Then you get your interviews done kind of incrementally throughout the weekend. And we lost interviews that they had already agreed to do it. But they agreed, the players agreed to do it in a scenario where they're like, I know I'm playing this night. I'll talk to them on Sunday because, you know, they're going to have a day off coming up. So a doubleheader totally changes that scenario. They had players who, if you're scheduled both games of a doubleheader on Sunday, you're probably not going to be able to get a talk in. So we didn't get to everyone that we would have liked, but you just got to roll those punches and got to see the first game that the Missions did really well. They were playing. It was funny. They were playing the Sod Poodle, so it was kind of a little reunion of a present and former Padres affiliate. In the second game, they got no hit through seven innings, so it was kind of like the best of times, the worst of times for the Missions. But got to spend some time with Philip Wellman after, who gave great insights into the players that he has and kind of where he sees them going, which was great. And for those of you out there who know a little bit about Welly, just a great conversation overall. So the baseball side of it, for the time that we got to go there, was absolutely phenomenal. And for San Antonio as a city, I didn't know what to expect from Texas. I had never been, I've been to New York to visit my cousins, but I flew there. I never like went anywhere in between. Otherwise, I've pretty much only been to California, Nevada, and Arizona. And Texas was a real revelation for me, and I extremely enjoyed my time there. I enjoyed everything I saw, the history, the people. I found the people to be my kind of speed, and shout out to John, not only because he's our overlord at Mad Friar, so he actually makes this all happen for us with our subscribers and everything else. But I never got to meet him in person. He's someone who's been very important to me in phone conversations mostly. I mean, going through some of the hardest times of my life, he was someone who was like, this is awesome. You're going to move here, do this, get this done. He's a very positive person. And to spend some time with him, I hope I didn't annoy him too much, because I know I can be a little bit more social than the average person on a road trip, I guess. But just meeting someone for the first time, we had some great conversations, and I really enjoyed just spending some time with him and getting to know him, and just seeing what Mad Friars is all about and why it is we do what we do. And that was the first time where I got to see, like, this is the payoff right here. Like, this is the payoff for when we grind on these dailies, we grind on everything else, we work hard for the readers and especially the subscribers, and the payoff is that they put money in that gets to put us out on these trips. So that's what I saw on that trip.
And you were a closing down bars on there too, was my takeaway as well.
Yeah, I would John would take an early bedtime. He goes to the gym in the morning, and I would go to – usually my routine was I would go to the Buckhorn Saloon. They'd have live music going until about midnight. And then I would go to Esquire Tavern around the corner. They had a later last call, and I would get some Lone Stars and do some notes and some reading and get some stuff done. Kind of like what normal people do in a coffee shop during the day, I was doing at Esquire Tavern at night, because I'm kind of a night owl. But kind of the mellow bar scene. Like, it wasn't like a club scene. It was just kind of a mellow bar scene that kind of speaks to me. And I had some good conversations with people in there as well.
You just like have conversations with random people at the bar?
Yeah.
Why?
I think that's one of the coolest parts of it. You just meet people and see what happens.
Yeah. Not for me.
Kevin, I'm single.
So? You're gonna find Miss Wright at a San Antonio bar?
I'm not trying to. I'm trying to find Miss Wright now.
No, Jesus Christ. you son of a bitch. What time do bars close there? Do they close at 2 a.m.?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I've been to Nevada, and I know the clubs there sometimes. They open until, like 3, 4 in the morning where they're serving booze. I remember being with one of my friends and him sitting down at a casino bar at 5 in the morning and ordering a beer. I'm like, that's degenerate behavior. But
yeah, 2 a.m. And then I noticed on Sunday, which was fine anyway because we were getting down to business, but Sunday you couldn't really find a beer in town at all.
Does it just shut down for like religious purposes or something?
Yeah, like I don't know what the laws are, so I could be wrong, but like I was in some of the stores and like the beer section was totally closed off, and then places like Buckhorn was closed. I think Esquire was closed early if it was even open. So I don't know if the bars were like completely closed or if they just closed really early on those day on that day. But
it's like Chick-fil-A.
It is like Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A of Lone Star. And I did get a 6-pack of Lone Star back to Arizona in 100% mint condition. So I'm really excited for that.
Are you allowed to bring alcohol on planes, or did you check it?
I checked it. I think you can bring, here's the thing. I don't think you can bring it through security. I could be wrong, but obviously like if you're going to be in the terminal, there's going to be a duty free and you can put it on your carry on from the duty free. You just can't drink it on the plane. So it's a weird set of rules. I think you have to check it if you're bringing it into the airport.
Yeah, I know they've gotten like a lot stricter. I mean, back in the day when I would fly, like they give you the whole can of like Coke, and now they just like pour it in like a 3-ounce cup, and it's like, here you go, you scumbag.
Right.
Like they just like take a friggin' 12-ounce can of Diet Coke and they split it between like three people.
Right. Like people used to bring their own miniatures onto the plane to save money.
Yeah.
And now they tell you like that's absolutely not allowed. And I remember like the first time I flew Virgin America back in the day, their drink menu was just like, which mini do you want with whatever mixer? And it's just like, if you want a scotch and soda, here it is. But now it's just like, yeah, who wants a shot of Diet Coke at 30,000 feet? That's kind of all that it is.
Well, I know a lot of it's probably due to COVID, but because you'd think that they'd want to sell booze because like they'll sell you $6 drink with right. like an ounce of rum in it that costs them like $2. I mean,
right.
And then flying with masks too, like, I'm a mask, like I'll wear masks, I don't care, but I mean, one of the things you want to do on a plane is sleep, and so you can't really do that with the mask on, which made it kind of inconvenient, but you know, deal with it.
I had that thought. Obviously I was on a shorter flight, but I was like, yeah, I don't know how people sleep like this. I haven't tried to sleep with a mask on, and then it's just a different vibe in the air right now, which I mean, I'm grateful that there is air traffic and we can still travel, but it's definitely not what it was before, and we'll see where it goes. I think a lot of industries want a year of uninterrupted business to see where they can go from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world by any means, but definitely, because I mean that's the thing. Because like for me, like I get motion sickness, I get a little nauseous, and so I try to like sleep and close my eyes, because I don't want to have to, you know, to get sick. And so I ponied up for the Wi-Fi, and I just listened to the metal channel on Sirius XM because it's actually kind of soothing to me because I'm a weirdo. And that's how I got through it.
Yeah, I got an update from the road from your road trip sidekick that you were listening to the to metal on the road from Chicago to Indiana as well.
Yeah, I mean, I put on a little bit, nothing like, it wasn't like, I told him like I'm not gonna put anything on like that's ridiculously over the top like heavy, because most people don't want to listen to that, you know, the dissonance of that music. But for me, depending on the mood I'm in, it's actually soothing for whatever reason. That's just how I'm built.
I don't know how to explain that. It's almost like you're soothed by chaos, but at the same time, you don't like chaos. I don't know.
It's, yeah, I'm not trying to, like, I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just, you know, I am what I am, you know, like, it just depends on my mood. Because there's all the times, like, I'll listen to, like, more, like, you know, atmospheric type of rock or whatever.
On the flight there, the flight from Phoenix to San Antonio is only about 2 hours. So I actually listened to Friars on the Farm on the way there. I think I wanted to like kind of get in the prospect mode.
It's always fun to listen to stuff you wrote being read, isn't it?
Well, I actually played a cool game because, you know, our friends at Friars on the Farm, they'll read some Mad Friars updates. I like to play a game where I try to guess who wrote it. I think it's kind of fun.
You son of a bitch. I told you that's my game.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, because yeah, I was on the plane and I'd be sitting there like, oh, I think John wrote that or I think Kevin wrote that. But that was kind of cool. And
it was incoherent, so Mark wrote that.
Dude.
Just kidding. That was good.
Man, I pride myself in my...
Yeah.
Hey, but on the way back, our beloved 5.5 podcast released theirs like while I was getting ready to I was already boarded. So I got to download that and listen to what Eric and Danny had to say. Otherwise, I listened to like stuff you don't want to hear. So how was the trip? You had a different trip because for those of you who don't know, I live in Phoenix. I went to San Antonio. So that was like a 2-hour flight. I had a little bit of an interesting trip back. But for Kevin and Ben, they went from San Diego to Fort Wayne, which if you're coming from the West Coast, you land in Chicago and then you road trip. If you're coming from the East Coast, you can land in Indianapolis and road trip. So they went to Chicago and they hit the roads. How'd that go?
It was an ordeal. First thing, the flight from San Diego to Chicago is about 4 hours, I think. You know, somewhere in that. It's very confusing because you lose 2 hours going there and you get 2 hours back. So it's about a 3-hour and 40-minute flight, somewhere around there. And so the flight itself, and then what you have to do is Fort Wayne, they have an airport, but it's a very small airport. And so to fly into there, it's not very cost. It's very expensive. So you have to, the move is you have to fly into Chicago, I guess. That's the move that we did. And rented a car and drove, I don't know, three hours or so. It's 180 miles. So it's not terrible. The thing that sucked, though, is Chicago is kind of an intimidating city because it's so large. Like, it's the third largest city in America behind L.A. and New York. And so the traffic down there is a little chaotic. And the move was, you know, get a rental car, get something to eat, hit the road. And so we stopped at a – it depends on what people – how people travel. I think some people like to go travel and they go to like a fine restaurant, like, you know, whatever the best restaurant in Chicago is. Because I'm a fat kid. I like to cross off regional fast food restaurants. So we hit a White Castle and it was the first time I ever ate White Castle. So it was kind of thrilling. I'm not going to lie.
I've been to White Castle in Arizona, which I don't think is as authentic an experience. But, you know, for us, Texas doesn't have anything like – I could be wrong. If there's anyone listening who knows the area better, let me know. But I don't think Texas had anything fast food-wise that I don't have because I have Whataburger. So we went more for, like, the barbecue, the hole-in-the-wall places. But you know, for you guys, that was kind of like your first time really through that part of the Midwest. And that's definitely something you got to check off.
Yeah, White Castle, not great, to be honest. It's first of all, I mean, the girl that was working the counter, I don't know if she was new, but I'm like, I had to repeat my order like 3 or 4 times, and I asked for them without onions because I don't like onions.
How complicated is a White Castle order? I thought I could be wrong, but I thought you walk up and they've got like a bag, a trash bag, a leaf bag, and like a shipping crate, and you just tell them which size you want to stuff all the burgers in, and they hand it to you. So what was so complicated?
I didn't want onions.
How do you know? Okay, White Castle without onions will suck.
I don't like onions.
I just hope, okay, the onion, and I understand that. So that's fair. You don't like onions, but like a third, White Castles are made out of like boiled meat, boiled bread, boiled onions, and like, a squirt gun of cheese. So if you don't like the onions, that takes off like a quarter down. And they put pickles on at the restaurant. They don't put them on the frozen ones.
Yeah, I picked the pickles off.
I saw that. You left them in the picture. Poor form.
Yeah, whatever.
So White Castle was kind of their steamed burger.
So I ordered this thing, and I just told Ben, like, let's just do this because it makes the most sense to get the most food for the cheapest price. So they had like a deal for like, it was like, I don't know, like 16, 17 bucks. And it came with 10 sliders. Yep. So I was like 5 each. That's pretty good. You know, it came with these things called chicken rings.
It's a kid's meal.
Kind of. And then the French fries. And then you had to buy drinks separately, which is fine. You know.
And their fries aren't great.
The fries, like, legitimately tasted like if you went to Walmart and you bought
a
frozen bag of, like, the $1.98 fries.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about the fries at all.
And you put them and you cooked them and you didn't season them. You just, like, cooked. That's what they tasted like.
Yeah,
they 100%. Legitimately tasted like the, is it the Orita, those French fries that you buy?
Oh, like, don't slander Orita. But I said, no, you can make better Orita than that. Those are, like, great value waffle fries.
Yes. Well, they weren't waffle fries. They're crinkle fries.
Are they crinkle?
I guess crinkle. Yeah. It was fine. Like, it was like, it's one of those places where it's like you go and there's this gorgeous girl and you finally get your chance at her, and then like she has like bad breath. That's kind of what the experience was.
So it was a letdown. What was the best? What was like the number one like you want to go back meal that you had in the Midwest?
Nothing honestly was like amazing. Probably the best place we went to, and we kind of found it by accident just because I kind of wanted to like do more things more on foot than just driving around and going to strip malls, and it worked out really well because we were downtown. And so we're looking for places that are open late that had food. And so we went to this place called like Lewis Street Grill. And it's like literally a hole in the wall. And it's a, you know, really cool little like dive place. It's like black owned. So it was really cool to be able to, you know, to support that. And I had everywhere in the Midwest, apparently, or at least in Fort Wayne, has something called a garbage plate, which honestly, like I've never heard of. Like, I don't think that's something that we have out here. So basically, it's just taking like whatever crap that you can think of and cooking it together in this like giant pile of food. And so this place had a garbage plate that had like it was eggs, potatoes. I think they put little pieces of sausage on there, but it wasn't like sausage link. It was like good sausage, and put a little pepper in there, which, you know, like I liked. I was fine with that. And serve it with like a little like some toast, and that was really good. It's like the greasy food that you eat when you're drunk. And the place was hopping because when we walked to that place, and apparently we were told it's in a not so great neighborhood, but I mean it looked fine to me. I don't know, but 12:30 at night, and there's like 6-7 people like a line like wrapped around this building because it's not like a place where you can sit down. Like you have to like walk up to this window and the guy like basically hands you out of food like through like a little like dispenser thing. Like you don't really have any contact with them. And so we placed an order online and did that. And that was probably the best meal that I had there. So we tried a couple of the places that John recommended. We tried another slider place. They had a lot of hamburgers there, which was probably not good.
Powers, right?
Power bottoms. I mean, powers. It's this. So it's literally like a hole in the wall. Like you walk a little bit past where the hotel was. And it's in downtown Fort Wayne, and it's like something. It's like this place is like stuck in like the 1960s or 70s. You walk in and there's like a counter, and there's like one booth in the whole restaurant, and this lady in a dirty ass t-shirt comes up and is like, what do you guys want to eat? And it's like, okay, give me some sliders. And then they have this lady on the grill and, you know, they're cooking like right in front of you. And this lady is probably, if I had to like conservatively estimating, she is probably 65 years old, if not older. And she's just dropping meat on the grill and just like, you know, she puts down meat, little pieces of meat, flattens them, and then bam, covers up the meat completely with onions. You just see onions, 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 onions. And so...
So you're terrified.
Well, I asked for without onions, and they had no problem with that. So
cool.
So like they were like, yeah, whatever. And I got chili because it's one of those places they don't have fries, but they had their sides basically were chili or like potato chips. And so I got the chili, which was really good. The burgers were actually pretty good. I mean, they don't look great. They don't, it's not a place that you would look at and be really impressed with what they're serving you. But the burgers, like their sliders are like $1.40 each or something like that. The chili, like a bowl of chili is like $3. It was good. I mean, it's not like it's great quality food, but I think when you factor in the price and kind of it being, you know, there's just not really places like that in San Diego that are kind of old timey like that.
Right.
It was kind of cool. But yeah, Fort Wayne as a city, definitely interesting, because I think one of the things that surprised me is you take the drive from Chicago. First of all, driving in Chicago was a nightmare. The freeway that we got on, there was like an accident or something, and the traffic was just backed up for, I mean, it took probably an hour to get out of Chicagoland, is what they call the metropolitan area. And so we finally got through that, and we crossed over into to Gary, Indiana. Do you know what Gary, Indiana is famous for?
One, for being not the best suburb of Chicago, and two, for the Jackson 5, if I remember.
There you go, yes. So they actually had, like, we didn't stop, and I kind of, like, wish we would have, but they actually have, like, it's a semi tourist trap type thing where they actually have the original Jackson house, like, where they all grew up. Didn't stop by, but you saw that they advertised it on the freeway. They have a Gary, Indiana. It typically has a not so great reputation. It was like one of those like cities in the Midwest that was like super dependent on like industrial jobs, and like once they left, the town kind of deteriorated. Like kind of like happened in like Detroit and some other cities where, you know, those manufacturing plants go out and people don't have anywhere to work anymore. So. Drove through that, and then once we got into Indiana, we just drove this back road, and not really a lot going on. You just see a lot of farms, a lot of really interesting looking houses, and everything's just green. That was in California. You see trees and stuff, and you see beaches, and it's a different type of like natural beauty. I would probably, you know, I'm biased, I'm a California kid, so I would say that the California, our natural beauty out here is probably better, but seeing all these farms and stuff was really cool. I enjoyed it. And then Fort Wayne, it's a cool little town. Definitely, if you're like a nightlife person, I could see people getting bored, you know, but they had minor league baseball. They have a bunch of like the like develop. They have an ECHL team. They have a G League team. They have a mid major, you know, sports program. So I mean, they get concerts there apparently. So definitely, like it's a nice town. I liked it. I mean, I definitely would like to. Wouldn't mind going back. It's, I don't know if I'd want to live there and deal with the cold, but. Definitely exceeded my expectations on what I expected as a city. It's a very nice place. It's very clean, very, very. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just very. It just seemed like a nice place.
I agree with you on the green. I remember there's a long approach into the San Antonio airport, and which is it's outside of downtown, so you're kind of out a little bit in the kind of more suburban area of town. And when you have a long approach, the plane's going slow, so you get a good view of what's on the ground right around you. And everything was so green. And I saw this bright green hill with a giant Lone Star Texas flag on it. And I just thought, I'm in a whole other place. Like, I've never really, you know, I grew up in Escondido. We had brown hills with green the right time of year. Obviously, we've been in drought since we were in high school, you know, even before that. And obviously Arizona, we see more artificial lawns than natural ones. There's not a whole lot of green around here, but that was a huge change for sure. And just different vibes. And I think we both had different vibes of these talents. And so what I know for you, like, you've known Ben through Mad Friars for a while, but I wouldn't say you guys are like, you're not, you know, talk every day kind of people. What was it, the experience like being on the road with someone that you know, but you don't know?
You know, it's fine. I think Ben, he's a pretty easygoing dude, or I don't think he's like, hard to get along with per se. But for me, like, I'm definitely more of a loner. Like, I like to, I genuinely like being alone. And so sometimes feeling like you have to force conversation, feeling like you have to just whatever, you know, and we spent a lot of time together, like where we would eat together and we would go to the ballpark together and try to like kind of stay in each other's, you know, in contact with each other. We didn't really go off on any of our own like misadventures. We would grab food together. So yeah, I mean, it was fine. It's definitely, like I said, it's a different relationship because I like him. I feel like he likes me, but you know, we're not, like I said, we're not like pals per se, where we're hanging out all the time. But yeah, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. You know, could have been going with somebody who has like bad hygiene or is kind of a prick or was trying to bring strange people into the room, those types of things. So, yeah, I mean, it worked as well as it can, you know, and I would be the one to say that like any type of issues or, you know, I don't know what his experience was, but I probably would blame myself if there was any unpleasantness. It definitely wasn't him per se. It was probably me if there was.
What's funny for me is I've actually met Ben and I've never met you.
That is funny.
Because obviously we do a podcast together, so I talk to you a fair amount. And I talk to Ben every now and then, and I like Ben a lot. But yeah, it's funny because like I've actually, because of the way COVID and everything went, I met Ben right before this whole pandemic nightmare. But I think it was a unique experience for both of us because like I've never met John before the trip, and you knew Ben, but I don't think you guys had ever really spent. I mean, you definitely never spent this kind of time together. So I think that was kind of a unique angle.
We went to spring training in 2019.
That's right. You did spring training.
But it was a lot quicker of a trip, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, admittedly, like, I mean, I'm not saying that, like, him and I are going to ever be, like, best friends or anything. But I'm not the type of person who's going to go out of my way to, like, maintain a relationship or to ask somebody if they want to hang out. It's just not my style. I just kind of do my own thing. I mean, it's just how I've always been. I'm like antisocial, not in an angry sense, but I'm like, eh. Like if people want to go do things, I'm like, eh. I'm at the age, especially now, like having built-in excuses with kids. It's just like, eh, I don't need to do that. I'll just hang out here. And COVID's made it like really, COVID hasn't been that big of a like an adjustment from the social. I know a lot of people that are super social have had a really hard time, and that really hasn't been an issue for me just because of how I'm wired. So
yeah, it's I think you have to find balance. I think one thing that that helped on our trip was that like John was more of a morning go to the gym kind of guy, and I'm more of a close down the bar kind of guy. And if you can make that work, it kind of gives you balance where it's like between those two spectrums of the clock. I think there was a lot of like, you know, John would get up early, go to the gym, go to breakfast. And then I'd wake up after and kind of go walk around, do my own thing. We kind of meet up before the ball game. I think that was like really good balance where it's like, obviously, you don't want to be like 24/7 around someone for like 5 days because I think no matter who you are, that drives someone crazy. So,
yeah, I think maybe that's kind of where we were around each other a lot. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty easygoing, but I could also see how I could get on people's nerves. Just because, well, yeah,
you know, listening to death metal already puts you in a precarious position, but.
First of all, it wasn't death metal. It was Motionless in White. That's like hard rock. So let's back it up here.
I don't even know what that is, but
well, you should.
I would say food from San Antonio, it's tough because, first of all, best $10 chicken sandwich ever was Buckhorn Saloon. But Pinkerton Barbecue was the best barbecue I've ever had. But at the same time, I'm a chicken fried steak aficionado. I know that John Conniff is an aficionado of chicken fried steak, as well as Menzi, or Hassong's Rim on Twitter. And the absolute best chicken fried steak I've ever had was at Deweese's Tip Top Cafe, which was featured on Guy Fieri's, whatever you call it, Diners, Dives, whatever else, however else he calls that show. I was definitely in Flavortown. I got down to the final bite. I couldn't even finish the final bite. It was huge. It was the plate was bigger than my head, which for those of you scoring at home, that's a Bochy-sized head. And John ordered the kid-sized portion, and it was like a normal adult plate. So these Texas-sized children are frightening, and I don't know what's going on there. And we need to isolate them until we know what's going on, because these children in Texas are eating normal-sized chicken fried steak. But it was by far the best. It was just wonderful, and I was reunited with my beloved Lone Star beer, which was a staple of my life in my late teens, early 20s. So this portion of the podcast is brought to you by Lone Star Beer, the national beer of Texas. Let me say this about San Antonio. Everyone always talks about the Riverwalk. And I asked the only Texan I really know before this trip, which is the one and only Stephen Woods from Ben Woods. He's originally from that area. Just like, what do I do in San Antonio? And I could be misquoting, but if I remember right, he said the Riverwalk is like the gas lamp with a bunch of water. And he was right. Because the funny thing with the Riverwalk is during the day, Monday through Friday, or like Sunday through Thursday, during the day especially, you walk around and it's kind of this quaint, cool thing. You walk along a river, no guardrails. For those of you Californians who are used to such liability things, just a little river you walk by, you're like, that's kind of cool. But then Friday, Saturday night, it goes off, and everyone's just it's packed with people, and it's claustrophobic, and the police are going by in river boats. So that was a whole other experience, but it was okay. It was by far not the best part of San Antonio, for those of you who are wondering.
So you can just like fall into the water, basically.
You could. There's not even there's nothing for you to grab. If you trip, you're in the river. Which I don't think is like a super deep river, but it would still suck.
Oh. And we have a sleepwalker. He's fine.
My almost 4-year-old like came out and he likes to grab hair, and he just grabbed me by the hair and scared the shit out of me. I almost screamed.
Our first guest.
Yeah, he just went on the couch and has passed back out, so he's good.
That's good.
It's what he does. He likes to doesn't he like every night wakes up and ends up in somebody else's bed. Everybody's bed but his own. So,
well, you know, you talk about weird podcast hours and. That's why you have responsibilities beyond my own. So
yes,
that's why we're. I remember before I went on the Kept Faith, Nick was like, "Hey, what's your recording schedule?" I don't know. Like, I guess he wanted to get it out at a time when we weren't, you know, putting out or something. And I was like, "Dude, we don't have one. It's just like, whenever I'm not fried from work and school, and Kevin's not fried from work and Mad Friars, and the kids are asleep, we just find a time. That's it."
Yeah, and then it's all, you know, I tried to, I mean, this is probably the first episode where I've done, like, really no preparation. We just kind of winged it. But I think I tried to, like, at least have a framework of what I want to talk about. Because otherwise, I feel like it's unstructured bullshit, and nobody wants to listen to it. I mean, nobody probably wants to listen to this either. I mean, let's be real. But I feel like it's a little bit more natural, just talking about an experience. But yeah, I mean, the thing I'll say about Fort Wayne too, to kind of like end it on that, the ballpark there, Parkview Field, is like, if you've seen it on TV or you've seen like pictures of it, like it legitimately, it doesn't do it justice. It is, I mean, I know it's smaller, but it's nicer than a lot of the big league parks I've been to. The thing that's kind of cool about it is in the morning, it's like a public park. So it's a lot like Petco Park, where you can just like walk in and you can do like laps around like the outfield area. They have like, you know,
I love that
little like grass areas and stuff. And it's just, it's really nice. Like it has like the old timey, like the outside of the stadium, that's like a lot of brick. So it has like that old school feel, but you go in and like, you know, the stadium's small, it probably holds at capacity, like 8,000 or 9,000. They have outfield seats, which are kind of cool. I sat out there for a couple innings for one of the games. They have, it's called a home run porch, where you sit like right out in left field, and you know there's only 4 or 5 rows. So I mean, if somebody hits a bomb, you have a pretty good chance of ending up with the ball.
And
yeah, I mean, I just the vibe at the ballpark, people are really into it. You know, it worked a lot with John Nolan, who's like their play-by-play guy. He's been there forever. He's like Mr. Fort Wayne, and he was fantastic. He's just such a really good broadcaster, and it was just really helpful. Like, you know, it was just texting us, really just doing a good job. Like, hey, who do you want? Okay, like, let me see what I can do. They can do it this day, and just kind of setting it up and making it really easy for us. Where kind of in this COVID, post-COVID world, I mean, what I'm used to is like you just go into the locker room and you ask the guy, and they say yay or nay. It's like kind of like asking a girl to dance. And so having it kind of, you know, streamlined where we know that this is who we're going to be able to talk to, being able to have questions prepared. I don't like to go into interviews like blind and not have any idea of what I'm going to ask them. And I try really hard not to ask like stupid repetitive questions that they've been asked a million times. Unless it's just like, hey, like I'm trying to get some background. You like, what do you throw? Or, you know, with one of the guys, I asked him like, hey, I hadn't really seen you pitch too much, but I think I saw this, and they, you know, they'd be like, yeah, I throw this, or hey, no, actually it's not really. I think I asked Matt Waldron, like it looked like a changeup. He's like, that's actually my knuckleball. I throw a fast one and a slow one, and the fast one just doesn't have the movement, so I don't like to throw it, so it kind of looks like a changeup. So just, you know, that part was really cool. Just the area around the stadium, it's kind of like, you know, a mini, it's like one of those places. It's just, it's not a big city, but it's not a, like a small town either. It's kind of in the in-between. Like they have a lot of restaurants downtown. A lot of places you can go. I actually like suggested to go to a bar because they had supposedly the best hamburger in Fort Wayne. It was good. I mean, I don't know if it's the best hamburger in Fort Wayne, but, I ordered a Diet Coke because I don't drink beer, and so I did not go for any of the local options, which didn't really have any. The only craft IPAs they had, or whatever you call it, were from Michigan, so they didn't even have like a local Indiana beer at the place I went to.
They're like Bell's.
I couldn't tell you. I could pull up the menu from this place. It's called Henry's Pub. And you know, the burger was really good. I mean, it's hard to F up a burger, but, definitely was the best burger I had on the trip.
Yeah. I don't recall Indiana having much of a brewing scene at all. I didn't see much of one in, San Antonio, and I apologize if I've offended anyone. I didn't like to it. I did go to Alamo Brewing.
Isn't Alamo the beer that Hank Hill drinks?
Absolutely. I was living on my childhood dream.
Is that a real beer? I thought it was fictional.
It was fictional, and now it's real. Oh. So that was really cool. That was within a slight walking distance. I probably walked about 3 miles to get there.
That's a trek.
I'm a heavy walker, man. Our beloved David J gave me a good beer recommendation. I wasn't able to get out there because by the time he gave it to me, I wasn't flying solo. And it was also like 10 miles from downtown. But Alamo was cool. Lone Star is cheaper, more of a Lone Star guy, but
is it is it like Pabst Blue Ribbon cheap?
Yeah.
So it's like a white trash beer is what you're saying.
You watch your mouth, sir.
Because you know I'm right.
Hey, You know what? I don't hear you. I'm gonna move there just to spite you now.
Well, why would I care?
You're spicy tonight. What's going on over there?
I'm just saying, like, I mean, Phoenix, San Antonio, it's the same thing.
Are you like reliving road trip trauma here?
No, I mean, the only trauma I had was so what I noticed in Indiana is not a lot of people there wear masks. They still have some protocols in place, but nobody follows them. So, for instance, you know, taking the elevator says two people in the elevator at a time. The hotel posts it. I can't think of a time that just Ben and I were on the elevator at any point in time. There's always like 5-6 people trying to cram their ass on there. Some guy joked that he's going to cough on me. I almost slugged him. So different a different group of people out there. Everybody was very nice. You know, now, that guy was playing around, but I wasn't there for it.
I'd be curious to know what vaccination stats are like there because
I googled it. So Fort Wayne in the city when I looked was in the 40s,
in the high 40s.
That sucks.
Not good. Whereas San Diego is in the 80s. And again, I everybody's situation is different. I don't want to turn this political. But you know, I'm vaccinated. I didn't really wear a mask unless I had to. We tried to keep the inside stuff to a minimum in the ballpark because you're outside. Because I was vaccinated, I didn't have to wear a mask again in the stadium anywhere or even when I interviewed players. I tried to kind of like stay back from them as far as I could while still being able to record them on my phone. Different vibe, but like I said, I like the town. I mean, it's something place like if they told me I had to move there to like for work or something, I mean, there are worse places I could go. So, and because I'm not a nightlife person, I'm gonna chill at my house and watch TV and play video games and read and do other crap. It didn't really clash with what I like to do. Now, if you're a guy that likes to go out and try different breweries and you're into that, probably not the town for you.
Yeah, I don't know of a single beer from Indiana. I'm sure there's some local stuff, but you know, I know like Tony Gwynn, his last few years was split in time between Indiana and Poway. I don't know exactly where in Indiana, but it feels like everyone I know who goes there really enjoys it.
Yeah, I know he was living in Fishers, which is a suburb of Indianapolis, I believe. Because I remember reading stories about him having season tickets with the Pacers, because Tony was a big basketball guy. So I remember hearing that, but. Fort Wayne is, I think, about 2 hours away from Indianapolis, if I'm correct. So
that sounds right.
Not overly close. So,
that was one thing I thought was interesting about San Antonio. San Antonio is the second largest city in Texas, which is a little bit deceiving because Dallas is far from the largest city in Texas, but it's a part of the whole Metroplex. But if I have my memory serves me right, San Antonio is a bigger media market than Phoenix. It's, I think, the fifth largest media market in the country. So it's interesting being in a place that
in San Antonio is not that big of a media market at all.
That was seven.
No.
Oh well.
Dallas is. I mean, Dallas and Houston are both bigger markets than San Antonio.
Well, yeah, they are.
San Antonio is the seventh largest city, like, in terms of population.
Okay. And in some ways, they act like they're a major league town, which is kind of fair because they have the Spurs. But it's also a state that already has two football teams, two baseball teams, one hockey team. And for whatever reason, three basketball teams. So it's weird because like you have NBA there and you have a very in the modern era, a successful basketball team there in the NBA, but then you have double A baseball. So it's kind of a weird dichotomy. And they used to have AHL hockey, the same level as the Gulls, but that team was bought and moved to Henderson to be the
Silver Knights.
The Silver Knights. So they're affiliated with Vegas now. So they lost minor league hockey. So it's a weird town that way, where it's like it's a good sized market. It's a big city. The suburbs around it, I guess, get a lot smaller, which makes sense. But it has one major sport. And, you know, they could have gotten the NFL and supported it, because the NFL is the easiest one to support because you only have so many dates to do it. It could have happened. The Raiders talked about it. And before that, the Saints talked about it. They've had major league exhibitions there. The Padres played there, didn't they?
I'm sure they have at some
point. In the Alamo Dome. But baseball, Major League Baseball, may not be a huge step. They did AAA for a year. It's just a weird thing where it's like they have the NBA, but then they go all the way down to AA baseball, and they had AHL hockey, but they lost it. So it's just kind of it's one of the stranger towns I've been in as far as sports.
Yeah. And just for the record, San Antonio, according to Nielsen, is the 31st ranked market in the United States.
So. Woof. So that's why they didn't get the Raiders compared to Vegas. But
hey, they might end up with the Chargers, because the Chargers are going to get kicked out of LA at some point. It's inevitable.
They keep coming up for football. They really do. And I don't know if it's just because, like, I guess for football you could move into the Alamo Dome right away and then figure it out from there.
With the AAF, when that was a thing, they were getting like 30,000 people a game. Like, they had pretty big crowds. I don't think it'll ever happen for them. And I think they've had trouble, like San Diego. I mean, there's a lot of parallels between San Diego and San Antonio, because
SeaWorld.
SeaWorld. But San Antonio has tried to get a ballpark built, because they got AAA baseball a few years ago, and they had AAA baseball for 2 years. And then the deal, whatever deal they had or they were working towards to build a new ballpark, kind of died. And, you know, it's obviously a AAA market. I mean, you can make the argument at media market number 31. I mean, they're a bigger market than Kansas City, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, you know, in terms of teams that have baseball. Maybe it happens at some point. I don't think that they're – I mean, if you need had to list the top five markets that Major League Baseball could expand to, like, they definitely, in my opinion, wouldn't be in the top five. Like, they would not be in discussion. It's right now, I think it's Vegas 1, Portland 2, Charlotte 3, Montreal's in the mix, and then – maybe Nashville, somewhere in there.
Part of the problem, too, like you talk about the top five, is after you get out of the top five, then you start acting, you know, the people start talking about going into existing markets. Like, hey, at that point, we'll just put a team in New Jersey, or at that point, we'll put a second team in Boston, things like that. So there's a long list there. But what the missions really need, and just baseball in general in San Antonio, they really need to go downtown. They really do. The downtown's kind of like a New Orleans type atmosphere, especially on like Friday, Saturday. And you can tell, like, that's the tourist mecca. That's where people would actually go and wander up and take in a ball game. They're not going to go out, clear out near SeaWorld and take in a ball game just by chance, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that ship has sailed. I think they're probably just going to enjoy their I hate the term, the double A, Central team that they have. I'm hoping they clean that up next year, and they just go back to, like, calling that the Texas League and calling the Midwest League.
What was the point other than showing that you're in charge?
I really don't know. Because, I mean, the California League has existed since, like, I want to say, like, the turn of the century, maybe in the 30s. But the California League has been a thing for, like, forever, and it's, like, it's not a thing anymore. And then, you know, San Antonio and the Texas League, I mean, San Antonio, like, that the missions have existed since, like, the 1800s.
Very early professional team. And so it's like, I get, like,
trying to do what they did, but, like, why isn't the PCL anymore? Now it's the AAA West and the AAA East. It's stupid.
And, like, the you know, the, like you said, the California League's been around for a very long time. The Texas League has been around for a very long time. When you go on these pages now and you look at, like, AAA West, it doesn't tell you about the PCL championships. It doesn't tell you about these teams. I mean, the no. PCL league that had the Padres, the Seals, Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, all this history, you know, Gwynn playing in Hawaii, all these things that are relevant to fans for so many reasons, and they strip that. So I hope, like you said, they go back on that. It's a power play, and I hate, you know, I felt for we have to write it, which is tough enough. I hate writing, you know, always leading the Double A Central in this. I hate that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Roy and Donovan going Friars on the Farm, they have to say, like, yeah, they're in the Triple A West. It just sounds like crap. We have to say it on here. It sounds like crap. And I hope they realize that these leagues had a name for a reason. And it doesn't make them less of a part of the structure to have those names. Nobody cared about that. That's not why we called it the PCL. It's not why we called it the California League. And speaking of California League, the Lake Elsinore Storm, I think, had a promotion you wanted
to talk about. That was a really nice transition. That was...
I've been working on this for a long time.
That was why aren't you the lead? Why am I the lead?
Well, you know, we talked about having me lead one. I think I just settled for every now and then I'm just going to segue something.
I feel like you have the better voice, though.
This segment, you know, we're going to Lake Elsinore Storm Baseball, brought to you by KFC Buffet.
KFC Buffet is dead. Fuck you, COVID. So... The Storm. I love the Storm. I go to games. I've only been to one this year. And then hopefully we'll be able to get some in the not too distant future. But they actually have a promotion. It's going to be today when you listen to this. And they've done a bunch of weird promotions. I think the dumbest or weirdest promotion they did was they did OJ Simpson's night, where it wasn't about OJ or OJ Simpson, it was about orange juice and the Simpsons. That's a promo. That's a real promo that they did. Well, today they're doing a rated R night, and so I'm going to kind of read their press conference or their press release, not press conference, but so on July 15th, our game day themes will be a combination of Mega Thirsty Thursday, which is $30 for all you can drink at a game. Is that a good deal?
It depends on who you are, because I mean, I don't know minor league beer prices, but
let's call it $7.
$7?
$7 to $9 a beer.
So so if you get three beers, you're like just under. So that'd be four beers a person, you're over the top. That's kind of a lot for a ball game, to be honest.
I feel like that's not a great value, in my opinion.
No, the house probably wins on that deal.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're doing that, Mega Thirsty Thursday. I just liked it back in the day when they had soda and beer for a dollar, but they got rid of that. Damn inflation. Thanks, Biden. And rated R night. In a brand new ballpark experiment, and anytime you use the word experiment in a promotion, it doesn't really ever end well.
No, disco demolition night.
Yeah. 10-cent beer night. I think that was in Chicago or Detroit or somewhere in the Midwest. We will be
Also Comiskey, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
We will be pushing the boundaries of typical baseball practices with mature content during the actual Storm game. I don't know what the heck that means, mature content. There will be good-natured adult content all game long, whether it is at the PA, the MC, the music selections, or the mid-inning fan participation games. This night will be suited for those 18 and older. On this night, we will be encouraging a stadium filled with people wearing anything but clothes. I'm going to read that again. On this night, we will be encouraging a stadium filled with people wearing anything but clothes. Trash bags, togas, or anything your imagination can conjure will get you a $10 ticket voucher at the box office. Please remain respectfully covered up, and any nudity will not be permitted. However, we want you to be creative. This night has its limits, however. Per MLB guidelines, there will still be no cursing or derogatory language inside the ballpark. Belligerent or demeaning behavior will also not be accepted. If you choose to attend this night with someone under 18, they will be required to fill out a waiver. And if you'd like to get a ticket for a different day, we would happy to
accommodate you.
Let's break this down. Let's dissect this, because this is honestly, this is the type of promotion where I could see somebody getting fired for this, to be honest.
Like, let's be real.
How do you call it rated R night when you can't cuss and you can't show boobies? What's left? Yeah,
that stands out, because I'm thinking, what is adult content without something that is graphic or without profanity? Like, is it just really bad jokes? What is happening there?
Like, is it like girls wearing like pasties on their nips? Is it Barrel Man from I think the guy's probably dead. But you remember Barrel Man from the Broncos?
He is dead. He is a statue for my beloved Broncos.
Yeah, he used to. I
saw him at a Charger game once back in the day. I like, if we had camera phones back then, I would have got a picture with him. But it was
pre-camera phone.
So they're basically encouraging you to wear anything but clothes. So like, what do you wear? Like,
they're almost looking for like a toga party at a ball game, but I can't stop. But I keep going back to the thought that not everyone who goes to a minor league baseball game follows a team's social media. So families are going to show up in the middle of this drunken toga party, and they're going to be like, "Oh, your kids need to sign a waiver." Now, I'm not a lawyer. This has been outlined many times. What does it matter if the kid signs a waiver? Is the parent signing the waiver, or is the kid? Because the release made it sound like the kid signing a waiver, which is weird to me. I don't.
Let me skim over that part.
I'm assuming that's just poor wording on their part.
I guess the kid fills out a waiver. Yeah, the way they wrote it,
they're a kid.
Yeah, like so, like if I brought my 4 or my 7 year old, like they're gonna like my 4 year old.
Yeah, is he gonna start a waiver and that's all good? He's gonna go into rated R night.
Yeah,
like and how do you call it rated R night when you can't curse? Like you can't say. You can't tell a dirty joke. Like, you can't, I'm curious. So this is, the Storm are actually broadcasting their games this year. And when it works, it's pretty cool. I think I've said this before. It doesn't, like, work very often. But what, you want to have a drunken toga party? Because I think minor league baseball, a lot of these, they pride themselves on being, like, a family atmosphere.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to do this night, cool. But how do you do it when you can't? Okay, so what? Can you give me 5 things that you could wear, like in your house, that are not besides a toga or a trash bag that aren't close?
That aren't close. I'm gonna look around right now.
Now
here's the thing.
Do you want me to put my dick in a sock? Like,
males have an advantage here because I could like cut leg holes in a pillowcase and probably be legal. I just think this is asking for either a drunken rampage of people looking for something that's not there, and they get, you know, it gets out of hand, or it gets out of hand and there are kids there, but the kids sign the waiver, which doesn't matter, or all the above, and you've got family showing up like, oh, we just wanted to show up on Thursday and watch a Storm game like we always do. We don't follow you on social media. We just thought it'd be a Storm game, and there's all these people walking around dressed up like the world's worst Halloween R2-D2 costume, and they're all drunk, and they're asking us to sign a waiver. Like, I just don't see a positive outcome for this.
I think in the history of minor league promos, it's got to be up there. It's pretty bad.
Just make a cheap beer night.
And,
you know, obviously families – I don't think families enjoy necessarily showing up on cheap beer night, but it's a different premise.
Like, I mean, like Elsinore, they're not really near a college. So, I mean, maybe doing a cheap beer night, because you definitely, like, when you do cheap beer nights, you're attracting young people, or you're attracting poor people.
Right.
Or people looking for a deal. So, to me, like, it makes more sense to do that. If you can sell a beer for $2 and still make a profit, why wouldn't you just do that? And again, I you want to do it rated R night. Okay, cool. So why can't I say the F word or the S word? Or why, you know, like, why can't, are they going to have like are they gonna, you know, one thing they could do is like in boxing, like hold up the card that the chick comes out in the bikini, walks in the dugout. It's like inning number two. Like they could do that. I mean, that's
but is that worth the price of admission? It's really not. And that's the thing. It's like that release doesn't actually tell you what the promotion is going to be. They're telling you to wear a trash bag, and they're going to run clips from R-rated movies, I guess, and whatever other they're talking about. The MC is going to be R-rated. Like, what's going to be R-rated without dropping it? Like welcome to the game, mother truckers. Like, what's going to be?
You can't because okay. Like, think of it, like when you think of rated R, there's three things that you're going to see in a rated R movie: language, sex, i.e. boobs, you know, maybe a stray dong here and there, and you're going to see some violence.
So they're going to run the opening scene from RoboCop, and they're going to be like that's what happened to the other team after Josh Ramirez hit this home run.
Yeah, like Josh Ramirez hit the home run, and it's like the storm like logo is like the guy that blows off his hand, and then the Visalia Rawhide, like his hand gets blown off, and it's like their logo.
Yeah,
is it
just gonna be like Bloodsport on the scoreboard? Because apparently that's all they're gonna do.
And then like RoboCop comes out, and it's like the part where, like it's like Robert Hassel's face, and he shoots the guy in the dick, and it's like the Visalia Rawhide mascot.
So it's like San Diego Charger games, where they'd always run the clip of Mongo punching the horse, but they're going to do it with the RoboCop
scene. Yeah, there's going to be RoboCop scenes. Or maybe they'll do like, they'll throw like some like random sex scene in there, but it'll be like Thunder's face on the guy's body. Like it'll be like Basic Instinct. like it'll be the part like
the leg cross.
Thunder will do the leg cross. They can do that.
I think you've got a better idea than what they're actually going to do, because they're not going to do that. I mean, like, I think a promotion, if it takes more than 20 words to describe the promotion, you failed. And you can write a full press release, but if people don't know in the first paragraph what you're doing, you're not doing something right. You're not marketing, because I read that whole thing, and it was probably, what, 300 words?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's probably about 300 words, and I have no idea what the hell they're going to do.
My whole thing is like, when you try to be edgy, and we're in 2021, mind you, where things I think are a little bit different. The world's a little bit different place. Some may argue a bit better or worse, whatever. It's different. When you try to be edgy, it just can come across as kind of pathetic, misguided, and
contrived.
What'd you say?
Contrived.
Contrived, yeah, that's a good word.
Well, I think you make a good point, because this is a great promotion to do before the internet. Like, this is a great promotion to do before kids had phones and could do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
Like when we were in, if we were, you and I were like in our late teens, early 20s, before like smartphones were really blown up, this promotion would make sense because it'd be like a way to let off steam. But now you can just go on the internet, do whatever the hell you want. I don't know. Like, this ball game is going to disappoint people because it's not going to be as edgy as they want.
Like, I mean, you know, why not do like a PG-13 name? I don't know. But I mean, what else are they going to do? I mean, maybe they could do it like me and my buddy
actually did this
probably about 10 years ago. We reenacted the scene where in Training Day, where Denzel Washington gets shot in the ass. Like, they can reenact that field, that part where,
well,
you know, that's a actually, classic. Oh, you mother, you know, that part.
You actually sent me the video where they expanded upon that RoboCop scene.
Somebody posted it.
Somebody made like a RoboCop like remake. And it's an old thing, like I had never saw it before, and I'm usually on top of all things RoboCop because the original RoboCop is legitimately one of my favorite movies of all time. But there's a part where like it's like they just remade, I don't know how they did it, because it looks like RoboCop like from 1987, and it's just RoboCop just shooting people in the dick and like blowing their dicks off, like they're exploding, it's gory, there's a guy like sitting there like trying to put it back together. then a guy gets an erection, gets shot, and the thing basically gets shot in half. Like,
so
they can do that.
It's like Kevin and I talk pretty much every day, and it's rare that Kevin will share like a video with me. Like, we share tweets back and forth, stuff like that. But he was like, "There's this video." And I think you just explained it like they expand on the scene where the guy gets shot in the dick in RoboCop. And I open it, and I swear to God, it's like 5.5 minutes long.
So I don't know. It's just guys getting their penises blown off.
And it's
not like that. Like actually, like literally getting blown off. Like not. Yeah. Not with a mouth, with a gun.
And it's like the full video. I think by the end, RoboCop has shot 99 men in their member. And
your move, creep.
It just kept going. I'll never watch it again, but it was well produced.
It was one of those things where like it was kind of gross, but I found it humorous.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say you found it like mesmerizing, but
Kevin, no,
gross.
And it was like, I watched it a couple of times, and it was really funny, but it was like, okay, like, you know, but it's like, what, I don't know. It's just stupidity, man. And I said, you know, you're trying to get people in your minor league stadium or minor league team. They've done a really good job of scheduling events and stuff during the pandemic. But you know, like I said a few minutes ago, when you try to be edgy, it typically blows up in your face. Yeah.
Well, it's a unique experiment, but I think it's leaning the wrong way from minor league baseball. I think you want to have your events be as inclusive as possible. And one of the biggest perks of minor league baseball is that you can take the family out there for an affordable price. And I think that's one of the biggest things they always pride themselves on. So when you try to lean away from that, you're not saying families can't go to the game. But you're basically saying, like, if a family went out there and they didn't know what was going on and they just showed up at the diamond, they're going to tell them, like, hey, you got to sign these waivers because, you know,
I mean, if this
works out, the ball in the dick.
And, yeah. And if it doesn't work out, they can go back to next year.
It's just a weird lean. It's I think if you're doing a promotion that, like I said, if you, the first paragraph doesn't tell you exactly how it's going to go, and second of all, you're excluding part of the audience, it could go very wrong. I mean, I can't think of another promotion that's ever happened where just to get into the yard, people have to sign a waiver. I think that's a really good
point you made about the inclusiveness. And I guess I didn't really think of it like that, but yeah. I think
that's a tough road.
Yeah, imagine if it was like, you know, it's almost a form of discrimination because it'd be like, hey, like we're gonna do Street Pride Night, and if you don't like it, you're because you're not responsible because we're gonna celebrate chewing tobacco and monster trucks, like and guns. I can't
think of another promotion that has said just for you to get into the park for this promotion, you have to sign a waiver. And I'm not saying that like it's a terrible thing. I understand why there has to be a waiver.
I think it's bullshit, personally.
I agree. It's not like – it's not outright discrimination, but it's
– it's close.
It's messed up where it's like we're doing a promotion where as a family of four, you may not want to be here, which is an interesting – it's just not what baseball's about. It's not.
Yeah. So we'll see how this works out. Perhaps they'll televise, because what they do typically is they'll keep the game streaming while they're doing their their shtick, and so we'll kind of see what they do. But
I don't know.
That's just like it's kind of like, okay, how many people do you have to run this by to like come up with it? Like, it just keeps going through different channels, and like five people, six people, seven people decided this is a good idea. So,
that's kind of where I'm at. So we'll kind of end it at that. Got a few minutes before we got to get out of here. Do you have anything else you want to add on?
I don't think so. I mean, we'll probably get on one pretty soon, I imagine. We kind of hopped on this with short notice just because we wanted to get on here while the road trip was fresh. And
yeah, we don't want to wait till September and talk about something that happened 2 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, because what's coming out from these trips has already started on Mad Friars, and then there's going to be more interview pieces. I think it was cool for us to get on here and describe those, the ups and downs of those trips before, kind of get ahead of all that. But
I enjoy talking to all the young men.
The fine young men of the organization, and, you know, perhaps more conversations in the future. And
fire in their eyes, man.
Shout out Chandler Siegel, one of the better defensive catchers in the organization.
Chandler Siegel. That is – Chandler Siegel is a man.
So. I liked watching him, and it was cool to meet him. And a lot of great guys. I mean, we talked to probably about, I think, 5 or 6, and you guys got more. You guys had more days of the yard. So it went pretty well for us.
Yeah, we got plenty in the can, so I'll probably start working on those at some point here in the not too distant future. In between embracing life and living it. So this podcast is called Bound for Disappointment. If I could talk, that would be amazing. If you like this, please subscribe. I have no idea. I don't know how I can tell who subscribes it, but like people will listen to this shit before I even post it. Like on Twitter, like I post a link. So really? Follow us on Twitter at BFD Podcast SD, I think is what our tag is. I'm at Mad Friars Kevin. He's at Mark F. Wilkins. If you like this, go on iTunes or Apple. Leave us a 5-star review because only 2 people have rated us so far. And so that'd be nice to get more. And we're a 5 podcast. So 2 people like us, which is... Wow. 1 more than I expected. So
stoked.
I'm not even sure I like this podcast. So, I mean, let's be real.
I'm going to let you hang there.
On that note, we'll end it there. Give us a follow, like, subscribe, and I will talk to you. We will talk to you next time. Peace. Lone Star Beer for the win.